Hey, how's it going? Welcome to the James McDonald Podcast, where we say love to live to love. That's our focus, that's our passion, and we invite you to let God's word have that impact in your life right now. Here's Pastor James.
Amen. Now, normally we have the pulpit in the center. We don't have a lot of symbols at our church, and one of the symbols we have is that the pulpit goes in the center because of the centrality of God's word. Now, hopefully we don't have to prove that every single week, and I promise you that hasn't changed, and we're going to do something just a little bit different. But why don't we just take a minute, and why don't you go ahead and sit down and just kind of maybe lean forward there a little bit on your knees, and let's just get in a humble posture of prayer, and let's just declare to God our dependence upon Him. Father, by faith, I can see your people across our church's campuses spread across this great city so full of needs. But in your mercy, you have called us together in Christ and under the authority of your word. And we have come with hungry hearts. We're so thankful to be in your house and in your family. And we're so grateful for the power of your Holy Spirit that causes your words to be more than just letters on a page, but to be food for our souls and light to our path. And so we pray that you would feed us from your word now, and we pray that our week ahead would be different because of the things that we hear. And we open your word now respectfully and in faith and with anticipation. God, I feel in my heart, I wish that I could be invisible. I wish that these precious verses could be heard by these people without a messenger entirely. But I just ask that as they have been from you to me, so they could be from me to them. And even as I speak them, they could be to me again as they've been so precious. So we ask you now to move in our hearts through your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, that's the great question, isn't it? What can I carry for someone else, and what do they have to carry themselves? What can other people carry for me, and what do I have to carry myself? In just a minute, we're going to get into the subject of what can Jesus carry for me, and what do I have to carry myself? But before we do that, I want to just review a little bit, so you can open if you want to. We're going to be in Matthew 11. A beautiful passage that I've never done a whole sermon on, but I've spent really probably every single day since I saw you last thinking about. But I first want to just go back to this place where we've been learning in Galatians chapter 6 and just touch on the key themes that I think called this Carry series together. And I'm not sure why we've never taught through the book of Galatians. We probably should. The beautiful theme of our freedom in Christ and the fruits of the Spirit are here, and how to walk in the Spirit, and there's a lot about freedom in Christ, of course, and so many great truths in Galatians. But chapter 6 begins, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you be tempted. Here it is, bear or carry, really, one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so we have this apple analogy that we've been given, and we are told that we should, carry one another's burdens. Just call out to me some of the things that other people can help us carry. This is the law of Christ. Christ wants people to help us carry. How many people sometimes feel like they have more than they can carry? Hands up if you feel like that sometimes. So it's pretty awesome to be part of a Christian community. It's nice to know that Christ wants people to help other people. Everybody in this room is supposed to be helping other people in this room, and we're all supposed to be helping each other carry. Come on, what's some of the stuff that we can help each other carry? I'm listening. We can help each other. Thanks for saying that. We can help each other carry pain, and we all go through times of pain. And I've been out of town, and as I was coming back into town, I was thinking about someone very dear to Kathy and I that I haven't seen for a couple of weeks, who went through a profound loss this summer, and we're going to get with her very soon and see how she's doing with what she's carrying, and we're going to make sure that we're helping her carry that pain. I like that a lot. Come on, what's something else we can help people carry? What? Childcare. Thank you for saying that. And you know, we have a lot of single parents in our congregation. I know that applies to everybody with kids, but I think the Bible's very concerned that pure and undefiled religion before the Father is this, to visit the orphans and the widows in their affliction. And so those who are parenting alone especially, I don't know whether you meant that or not, but that would certainly be true. And so we can help people who are parenting, and especially single parents with childcare. I like that a lot. And how many people, hands up if you agree that's a way that we can help carry. Everybody's on that page, but are we doing that? Let's keep our eyes peeled for opportunities to do that. If you know a person under that weight, I got to say my wife's real strong in that. I told you before about her grandparenting business. Have I told you about that? My wife runs a grandparenting business. It has a lot of expenditures. And exceedingly expensive, more than a full-time job. It has zero revenue, but somehow still is exceedingly profitable. So there's someone doing exactly what I'm talking about, helping carry the weight of caring for children. I'm really proud of her for that. So good call. Okay, something else that we can help carry. My gosh. The Bears could use help finding a ball carrier, did you say? Oh my gosh. May I move on? Wow. Okay, hang on. Good joke. Something else. What? Finances. Well done. And I would say, especially in a crisis, you know, if a man will not work, he should not eat. But I don't think that's what you meant. I think you meant during a crisis, didn't you? Especially hard times, we have a benevolence fund, and you don't even need to do that. You can just help somebody on your own, and we should do that. I think that's fantastic. And, okay, one more. Come on, one more. What? Yeah, loss. Profound loss. Hunger is kind of like finances, but I'll give, loss, grief, pain, all of these things. I think we get the idea. When life's a little too much, when it's weighing heavily on us, absolutely, we can help people carry those things. That's fantastic. Now, I think what our pastors were pointing out to us is, if you drop down a little further, I don't know if you opened to Galatians 6, like I said, the message is really in a different place. This is all just review, but Galatians 6 goes on that each must bear, see it there at the end of verse 5, for each will have to bear his own load. Our pastors went into this in great detail. I think at first look, you're like, well, which is it, man? Which is it? Make up your mind. You know, this is where people are like, the Bible is so full of contradictions. Well, I mean, actually not. It's a both. Come on, everybody say, both is true.
Both is true.
Some stuff you can get help with. Some stuff you actually have to carry yourself. So back to the list. Come on, I think this is good sometimes. We're all in this together, so I could have obviously put a list up on the screen. You've seen me do that 1,000 times. We're going at this a little bit differently. So stuff, people can't carry this for me. Each must bear his own load, Galatians 6, 5. Come on.
Purity.
What?
Purity.
Purity. Well done. Okay, so nobody can keep a personal purity commitment. That's on me. Come on, everybody say it's on me. All right, and I appreciate that being called out. Well done. So, got to get that in the right bucket. That is the point, isn't it? Okay, something else?
Help.
Salvation. No argument there. Salvation. Well done. Okay, something else that I have to carry the load myself. Someone said, I heard that one. Maybe, my ears are just hearing the ones that I want to hear. Your quiet time. Your quiet time. One of the funniest lines I remember from early days in the church when we were having small groups and we were holding each other accountable for our quiet times. It was a whole new concept to some of the guys in our church. And one of the founders of our church, he still attends all these years later, and we showed up in a small group maybe 2 or 3 months into the church, and I said, how are you doing your quiet time? He says, oh, I'm doing really good. He says, I already got my quiet times done all the way through Christmas. And no, that's not how it works. You know, the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our... Amen. All right, and your mom can't have your quiet time for you. Nobody can do this for you. And you got to do it yourself, and you have to do it every day. All right, so each must bear his own load. And, so something else, you have to do it daily.
Obedience,
all right. Okay, now something else, you have to do it daily.
Trimming your own beard.
What?
Trimming your own beard.
Trimming your own beard. Are you the same guy that said the bears comment? Ushers. We need the ushers. I'm not going to answer that. Oh my gosh. You know, when I came in here tonight, I would have said that I'd missed you. You're going to be bearing your load after church, brother. All right. What? Reading your Bible. That's part of quiet time. Let's go in a different category. What you got?
Self-control.
Absolutely. Perfectly stated. Okay. So who can help me with self-control?
Nobody.
Somebody may be able to teach me about it. Somebody may be able to coach me on it. But at the end of the day, point to who that's on. Come on. Right. Well done. Thanks for saying that. Because there's really this whole category of things like that, isn't there? Good. So you've helped us all. All right. Some things people can help me carry. Some things I have to carry myself. Now, I want to go over to Matthew chapter 11, and I want to go into now a completely different part of this matter of carry. Will you turn over there with me, please? Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, really quite a familiar verse. Let me get us some context here. The focus will be Matthew 11, 28 through 30, but beginning in verse 25, we have a little teaching segment. I don't think there's really a tight chronology here in Matthew 11. Matthew's pulling together various teaching segments from the ministry of Christ. And in Matthew 11, 25, he says, at that time, which is an indication that the paragraph before may not have immediately preceded it. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, as I'm fond of saying sometimes, this is a one-point message, which is not to say in any sense that it will be a short message. The single summary concept here is this, that the weight of must carry, because there are those things that we must carry. Do we agree? Do we agree?
Yes.
Come on, do we agree?
Yes.
There are those things that we must carry. And do we also agree that sometimes the things that we must carry are very heavy? Is it not true that inevitably there are still ahead for us seasons of heavy lifting? Hands up if you believe that yet in the future there are seasons for you of heavy lifting. And hold your hand up still if you believe that there's nothing you can do to keep that from happening. So if there are in the future for me and for you and for us seasons of heavy lifting, and if they are in fact inevitable, the weight of must carry can only find rest by learning to carry like Jesus. I want to say that it is the great privilege of my life to study God's Word, and because I am under the gun to show up here on a weekly basis with some fresh discovery from these living pages, I'm not always standing here as I am this week with something that has really radically rattled me to the core like I am now. And I mean in a beautiful, awesome way. And I feel a little impatient to rush to it, but I will bridle that passion and start where the text starts. Notice first just the simple invitation. Come. Come to me, who? All who? Two categories. Circle them. They're self-identifiers. All who labor and are heavily laden. Let's take those one at a time. The word labor is the idea of toil. It's the first place we feel tired. It's exhausted from physical labor. This is where the condition Jesus wants to address begins. Now, I know that you think that I'm, you know, probably a weenie in the matter of physical labor, being a pastor and all, but I did, as a younger man, work one summer on a assembly line on the night shift, 6 days a week, 10 hours a day, assembling cars. I remember that well. I also worked a four-month summer, all day, every day, shoveling sand into a cement mixer. I know what that's like, and I hope those who work manually, who have my highest respect, I hope you won't be insulted when I say that I don't think the heaviest labor is manual. As heavy as manual labor is, I think those of us who have lain awake, burdened for our children, or carried the weight of a struggling marriage, or known the uncertainty of a health future and a possible shortened life, or rushed to the hospital to see if a child was still alive when we got there, or I think most of us would agree that physical tiredness is where weariness begins, but it is not the heaviest weight that human beings carry. And so when Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor," he starts the description with the things that exhaust us physically. But when we're physically tired, a night or several good nights of sleep can generally put that in order if we're not in need of a doctor. But he does go quickly to the second category, which is not as easily remedied. "Come to me, all who labor and are," there it is, "heavily laden." Beyond those who are physically tired, who at church this weekend feel like they're in the 23rd mile of a marathon, who feel like they are unable to chase the little kids around the house again, who feel like they're in the last few weeks of a pregnancy, I'm told, is that level of exhaustion. That, you know, that beyond those who are at church this weekend who feel that, heavily laden, the word was originally used of loading a ship. It's the idea of heaping to capacity, of, it came to mean overloading or weighing down. Eventually, the word came to mean, as it means in the New Testament, burdening, not physically loading, but loading the soul, the emotional weight. Sometimes Kathy and I have to hug one another and pray to get up in this pulpit and do this. We should be more transparent, I think, sometimes in asking people to pray for us. Something happened to me earlier this year that I don't think I still understand. I mentioned it a bit back in August, and later in September I asked the Act Like Men participants to pray for me personally. I've really been working the last few weeks. I work and work and work and work and work and work on the ministry, but the last few weeks I've been really working on the minister. And you know, you work for years. I went to Bible college, I went to seminary. I worked for years and years and years on the minister, never worked on the ministry at all. And then once I started working on the ministry, I hardly worked on the minister anymore. Not that much, really, other than what just happens naturally. But I've been working on the minister a lot again, because I just kind of, I don't know if you ever felt like this, just like things began to sort of pile up. And I guess I'm saying that because maybe if I go first, you can bring forward a level of transparency to look at this passage and the incredible invitation that Jesus Christ is giving when he says, "Come to me, all." Notice he's not anticipating a fractional response here. Hey, in case there's someone who's interested, on the chance that there might be someone in the crowd. He's looking nearly, it seems, for a majority response when he says, "Come to me, all." I wrote this: the battle is real, the enemy is fierce, and the stakes are enormous. And sometimes we're so heavily burdened, we desperately need the rest Jesus offers, and nothing else will do. The title of the message, I should have mentioned, is "When It's Too Much to Carry." So I went first. Honestly, at church, how many people feel sometimes it's just too much to carry? It's too much. It's just too much to carry. Now, I want to go back to this word "come" before I get to the good parts. I mean, is there a better invitation in the universe? I mean, I just want you to think about this for a minute. When it's too much to carry, Matthew 11, 28, Jesus Christ, his eyes on you, "Come to me." When it's too much to carry, come to me. Somebody say awesome. Notice the absence of condemnation. No, where have you been? No, why are you like this? None of it. Just come. Notice the absence of preconditions. No clean up first. No sign here. No, you must agree to this first. Just come. See, religion says, behave, believe, belong. That's religion. That's on every street corner, in every empty church under some stupid steeple. That's religion. But Jesus Christ says, belong, believe, behave. We offer belonging. We welcome without judgment. We love without condition. We forgive without limit. Amen? This is what we do. Come, I just got to say I'm loving that. Come to me, all who labor and are heavily laden. I will give you rest. Back to that in a moment. Here it comes. Take my yoke upon you. This is a yoke. No joke. This is a yoke. Now, if you've been around, look up here, y'all. If you've been around church at all, you've heard this passage, I would suggest, kind of ruined. If you've ever heard the agricultural, how many people have ever heard the yoke, the oxen had a yoke? Hands up if you've heard the oxen, they had two yoke. Wrong. Why would Jesus, what does he say in the text? Take what? Take, say it, bro. I need you in the front row every service forever. You've helped me twice now. What's he say?
My yoke.
Thank you. Take my yoke. What would Jesus be wearing an oxen yoke for? This is 18th century agricultural preaching from people who forget that in the New Testament times, come on, get some of those pictures up there, all right? They had to carry, there was no running water. They had to carry the water into the house. Everyone knew what a yoke was. It was something you put over your shoulders to carry the water into the house. Jesus was using, as he frequently did, the master teacher. He was using a carry analogy. And what he was saying was, take my yoke upon you and, next word, learn. Now, this is a particular kind of learning. Actually, the tense there isn't like go to school. It really refers to learn this once and get it. You know, like, how many times did you have to learn don't touch the stove? Right? How many times did you have to learn that ice cream's great? How old were you when you learned that if you were playing outside and having a lot of fun, like a lot of fun, but you had to, use the facilities, that you needed to have a fairly good sense of the time it would take to run home, that there needed to be a margin there. I remember learning that one time. Come on, lift up your voice and say, enough said. Thank you for that kindness. This is a learn at once. And it's not super fun to be at my age and say, I learned this since I saw you last. But it is great to still be learning. Here it is. Look at the text, loved ones. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Okay, Jesus, what do you want to teach me? Because I have to say, isn't it a little counterintuitive? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened. Now, here we come. Who's coming? When he invites them, who's coming? All of us are coming who are what? We're labor. How do we come? We're like, oh, we think he's gonna bear our burdens. The guy who says, hey, everybody who has too much to carry, come on over here. And what do we think he's gonna do when we get there? He's gonna take some of this off us. So when you get to him, you think, oh, thank God, somebody's gonna take this off me, but that's not what he's gonna do. When we get to him in this passage, he doesn't say, here, let me carry some of that. He says, hey, let me show you how to carry. Because sometimes the reason why we are laboring and heavily laden is not because of something that happened to us, but because of how we carry. And what he offers is not a lift, but a way. Not an offload, but a method. Here's the method. Learn from me, my yoke is two things. Hey, you want to be in the sermon, Mr. Smart Guy? Come on up here. You know I love you. Come on, bro. I actually needed a volunteer, and you seem so badly to want to be in the sermon. You guys know this guy's my friend, so good to see you. Thank you. So help me with this. So come on over here, and is that okay? Mm-hmm. Thanks. Just put that on. Okay. Okay, so thanks, just come forward here, right? Thanks, this is perfect. So, this is really quite something what he's saying here. He's saying that two things, two ways to lighten your carry. Two things that make the carry heavy. One is a people thing, and one is a personal thing. To make the carry lighter with people, gentle. The word gentle in the text means not overly rigorous, not unduly concerned with my rights, not preoccupied with my due, gentle. How much is in my bucket because I have to have what's mine? And now, because I wasn't gentle, how much ends up in my bucket? And I didn't get my raise at work, and I had to tell my boss about it. Now I'm concerned if I'm going to have a job. My daughter didn't call me back. I got into a big argument with a guy on the way to work. Jesus doesn't ever do that. His yoke is easy and light. That's why he has rest. And that's why I don't. Sometimes God lets us feel the weight of all the garbage that we create by not being gentle and not being humble. And they do go together. Gentle is how I relate to people. And humble is how I relate to myself, how I see myself, my expectations, how I want to be thanked. And how I want to be viewed, and how I want to be treated. Spend a lot of time on those things. Before long, you got a pretty heavy weight on your shoulders. Things that Jesus isn't ever carrying. I have never, ever said this in church. I believe that Jesus Christ taught this to me as I meditated on this passage. Every day since October the 2nd, because I have been so laboring and heavily burdened. I'm not going to tell you all the awesome, great, incredible things he's done in my life. I just wanted to tell you that. And his word is so, so awesome. What an incredible invitation. Come to me, all you who labor are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. One time, get this settled. Never forget this again. I'm gentle and humble of heart. You'll find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. I don't ever want to forget that. Every time I feel like it's too much to carry, I want to look in my buckets and say, how much of it is there because I wasn't gentle and because I wasn't humble?
So I hope that you've been really encouraged today through this clear teaching from God's Word. I just want to thank you from the whole team for listening to the James McDonald Podcast, where the learning is for loving God and for loving others more and more until we see Him face to face. Thank you for standing with us. Your prayerful support is our lifeline to continue this gospel partnership, and it makes podcasts like these possible. If you're not part of a vibrant, life-giving gospel church, check out this new alternative. It's called the Home Church Network. You can get it at homechurchnetwork.global. All the ministry information, Bible teaching, and resources are there, and also at jamesmcdonaldministries.org. Hey, thank you again for listening.